What is up? Welcome to another edition of the NFL Fantasy Football Show. It's me, your man, MG Marcus Grant, fully vaccinated and still trying to dodge the Delta variant like I was Neo in The Matrix. We got a fun show for you today. Producer Justin, as always, is by my side, continuing with our theme of having guests throughout the offseason, although the offseason is getting really, really short. In fact, we're getting into training camp season. We're going to do a little bit of a training camp preview. I will introduce my guests to you in just a moment, but a couple of quick housekeeping things. First off, we are going to two shows a week soon. Since we're getting close to the start of the season, we're going to go back to two shows a week. So starting on August 3rd, Tuesday, August 3rd, and then Thursday, August 5th, those will be our first, that'll be our first two show week. So we're looking forward to that as we get ready to, really dive into training camp. And speaking of which, let me make sure I read this right so the bosses are happy with me. It's the biggest season ever. Starts with NFL training camp, a whole week of first looks and insider access leading up to the first ever Back Together Saturday fueled by Gatorade. Coverage begins July 26th on NFL Network. In fact, that would have been yesterday that it started on NFL Network. So hopefully you have already tuned into that. If not, it is going and, we're looking forward to it. Anyway, if you have listened to this show consistently, you know one of the things I like to do is certainly get a lot of my friends from the fantasy content space on this show. Maybe it's some names that you have heard before. We were lucky to have the Fantasy Footballers on. I've had my friends Bob Harris, Jake Seeley, on and on and on, James Coe. I also like to try and introduce people to voices that maybe you haven't heard, maybe you don't know of, or maybe you're just sort of getting introduced to and wanting to know a little bit more. So to that end, I have a guest on, a man that I have really enjoyed watching his work from afar. You can see him doing stuff on NFL in Espanol, NFL Mexico as well. I appreciate his work not only for the quality of the work, but for me as somebody who is, very slowly trying to learn Spanish. I appreciate being able to look at his tweets and do my best to translate them in my head before I hit the translate button and see how right I was. It is Mauricio Gutierrez. Mauricio, thank you so much for being on the show. How are you?
Hey, Marcus. Very excited to be here with you. It's an honor to be invited to the NFL Fantasy Podcast. And yeah, we're doing everything fantasy in Spanish from NFL in Espanol and NFL Mexico.
Dude, that's awesome. So like I said, I really do. I read your tweets. I in my head, I'm trying to translate it, making sure how much of it I got right. And then I hit the translate tweet button on Twitter. And, I sort of grade myself and I'm getting better. So I appreciate that.
So are you telling me that we can do like poquito Espanol here?
muy poquito. I've appreciated it. I was on a podcast recently, a young man named Diego Leon. He invited me on his podcast. So I certainly appreciate it. I'm always excited to meet folks who do fantasy in other places. I mean, we know across the pond over in England they do it, but certainly in Mexico and beyond. We're glad to have you. We're all part of the same group, yeah. So it's cool.
The Spanish-speaking fantasy community is growing a lot, not only in Mexico, but in South America and Spain also. It's really amazing how NFL and fantasy football, it's all over the world.
Groot, that's so sweet. It's so awesome. And it's been fun kind of getting to meet people in other places. In fact, yeah. I believe you're going to be in Canton, Ohio in a few weeks, right, for the King's Classic.
If everything is okay, right, with what's going on in the world, yeah, I'm going to make it to Canton to the King's Classic, yeah.
That is awesome. Yeah, same here. I have all my stuff, my plane tickets in my hotel, and I'm just hoping that everything's going to be okay.
Hopefully we can see each other there.
Yeah, exactly. That'd be great. It would be great. All right. Well, since we are getting into training camp, I wanted to have you come on and talk about some training camp storylines, also do some stories. I want to know whether you believe some of these stories are true, whether they're not. And then at the end, we'll do some rapid fire, just fun, non-football questions and that sort of thing. So let's start. I put together five storylines that I think are interesting to watch during training camp. I wanted to get your thoughts. The first one is the Jaguars. They bring in Urban Meyer as their head coach. They draft Trevor Lawrence, number one overall. They've got a lot of talent there. We're still trying to figure them out. And so my first question to you, Mauricio, is when you look at that backfield with Travis Etienne and James Robinson, how do you expect they're going to split up the workload between those guys?
It's tough to predict that backfield. I think it's an interesting one to look in training camp and preseason. I like a lot Travis Etienne as a player. I know that James Robinson was amazing in his first year as an undrafted free agent, but he was benefit from a lot of volume. He wasn't quite that effective. He was running back 32 in yards per touch, running back 48 in breakaway run rate. So I think that Travis Etienne from Capital Draft, you know, a first round pick, and the talent that he has to have the big role right away. I am expecting a 50-50 split for the start of the season, and probably as the season goes on, 60-40 for Travis Etienne.
You're sort of breaking my heart, because I really, I like Travis Etienne. I think he's really good, but part of me really still is hoping I can get a draft bargain with James Robinson.
Yeah.
I totally agree that part of what made him so good last year was the volume, and some of that happened because of everything around him, right? You had guys get hurt. You had guys who sat out the year because of COVID. But I'm still hoping there's a role. But I'm afraid you might be right that Travis Etienne's really going to take this thing over. But I'm still drafting James Robinson in like the middle rounds, hoping
but
for
probably
good things.
James Robinson is going to retain the goal line work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe there can be value if the ADP falls to round 8, round 9. I can think he can be a very good value there.
That's cool. My other fear is that Tim Tebow is going to steal some of those goal line touches.
No.
Good. Okay, great. I'm glad you said that.
Please no.
Thank you for saying that, because that's really how I feel. The other big question I have about the Jaguars is, what do you expect from Trevor Lawrence this year?
I think we are going to expect up and downs, like any rookie QB. We know that he has generational talent, that he is in the best situation, is going to be the starter from week one. He has good weapons around him. I love Laviska Shenault. He has DJ Chark, Marvin Jones that came from free agency. Have him rank as my QB 16, but I think that if he can produce 20-25 rush yards per game, he could be a borderline top 15.
You know what? And it's funny. Someone asked me the other day, you know, are we forgetting about the fact that Trevor Lawrence can run with the football?
Right.
You know? Like we keep talking about, you know, when it comes to the rookies, we talk about Trey Lance and we talk about Justin Fields. And I feel like we have sort of forgotten that Trevor Lawrence can run too. And I think you're right. If he hits that 20 to 25 yards per game, that's a pretty, I feel like that's reasonable. That's a reasonable expectation, right?
Yeah. I didn't want to go that far. Actually, I have him borderline QB12, but I know I have to lower expectations to go down to planet Earth, and QB15 sounds like good.
No, I feel like that's realistic. You know, I feel like people want him to sort of have the same kind of season that Justin Herbert did. And I feel like Justin Herbert was great and he was way beyond expectation. And I feel like that's if Trevor Lawrence is that, then that's awesome. But I feel like it's asking a lot to just immediately expect that from him.
Of course. You know, what I'm expecting in fantasy points per game basis, something that Joe Burrow did in his first games in last season. That's what we can expect from Trevor Lawrence.
I think that's fair. In an offense that I think is going to be really interesting to watch. You know, they got a lot of pieces. We'll see if they put it together. So that should be interesting.
Yeah.
Another storyline keeping my eye on is the Titans offense. Two really big changes in that offense. One of them being the offensive coordinator. Arthur Smith is gone. He's the head coach in Atlanta now. Todd Downing takes over as the offensive coordinator. He says he wants to throw the football more, because the other big change is they got Julio Jones in a trade. Should we worry about Derrick Henry maybe not getting the same number of touches because the Titans might want to throw the ball more?
I don't think so. We call Derrick Henry down here the tractorcito.
Yeah, like I love that.
Bulldozer. Yeah.
I love it.
And I think his athleticism, his talent, what they paid for him, they have to use him, right? He has been the anchor of that offense in the past, and I think it's going to be the same in 2021, even with Julio Jones and Arthur Smith departure.
I said the other day that you could probably pencil him in as your rushing champion again this year, because that's just how good he is. The potential upside is maybe they throw him the ball more.
I know that probably.
I know it's not necessarily the strongest part of his game, but even if he catches, 30 passes this year, 30 to 35, that's a big boost for him. And I think that goes a long way toward helping him out. So maybe we are overreacting. But I will ask, even if they don't necessarily throw the ball more, are we overlooking Ryan Tannehill? Because he's been really good the last couple of years, but I feel like we don't talk about him in one of those upper tiers of quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think we're overlooking just a little bit with him. I think he's being valued a little bit lower, that ADP QB 11, quarterback 12, in that range. He was top 10 in 2019 and 2020 in fantasy points per game. But he has been uber efficient, right? And probably that efficiency numbers are going to return to planet Earth. I gladly take him as my QB starter in my leagues, but I'm leaning more to have a Konami code QB this year. But Ryan Tannehill, actually, it's a very good quarterback, efficient, knows the offense. He's been productive for the last 2 years. And now you put Julio Jones on the equation and you have to look for him, right?
Maybe that's it. I feel like you hit on it on something there when you said he's efficient, right? And efficient is cool. Efficient's not exciting, and maybe that's why. That's why we're not talking about him as much, because you talk about the Konami code guys, right? Yeah. That we've only seen three or four games of Jalen Hurts as a starter, but people are way more excited about Jalen Hurts than they are Ryan Tannehill. And maybe it is. Maybe it's just that efficiency is sort of boring.
Actually, Marcus, Ryan Tannehill can run.
Right.
Well, he's not going to make 300 rush yards in a season, but 250 yards, it's very possible for him.
I think so. And I think we forget, too, that, it used to be the running joke that Ryan Tannehill was a wide receiver in college. And then afterwards he transitioned to quarterback. But he can run with the football. He just doesn't do it maybe as much as some other guys there.
Yeah.
Next one, a couple of rookie quarterbacks. I mentioned them, Justin Fields and Trey Lance. They've been all the rage amongst fantasy dynasty drafters and rookie drafts. Who would you rather have in say a redraft league? Would you rather have Justin Fields or Trey Lance, and why?
I like Justin Fields right now a little bit more. I think he's more NFL ready than Trey Lance and has an easier path to become the starter in the Bears, even though that Matt Nagy has his narrative that Andy Dalton is going to be the starter in week one. Yeah, week one, okay, but week two? And training camps are on the way. We have to see preseason. I think Justin Fields has a shot to claim the starter role even before week one. So I like Justin Fields a little bit more.
So you said that in redrafts, in dynasty, does that change your opinion? If we're talking a dynasty draft, are you still with Justin Fields, or do you go the other way?
That's a really, really tough question. I'm Justin Fields, really, really like him. Mm-hmm. But in dynasty, I think it's a close one. Mm-hmm. I believe in Fields' talent, but the long-term situation, it's far from ideal. Matt Nagy's future is on the line. Allen Robinson doesn't have a long-term deal. Mm-hmm. And in the other hand, Trey Lance has the talent, has the arm strength. He can run, have a great offensive mind with Coach Shanahan, some good players around him with Brandon Ayuk, Deebo Samuel, George Kittle. And I think that the balance, it's for Trey Lance right now in Dynasty.
I'm pretty sure Justin Fields is going to be the first one to start. Do you expect we're going to see Trey Lance as a starter before the year is over?
Probably, yeah. But that depends on the 49ers record, right? If they're winning games, it's tough to see a change from Garoppolo to Lance if they are winning games, even if not with Garoppolo's arm, but with the defense or with the other pieces they have in the offense.
Yeah, I think it's going to happen, but you're right. I think, if Garoppolo's playing well and they're winning, they probably aren't going to make that change too soon. More quarterback talk. In New Orleans, Drew Brees is gone. Here we are. It's training camp time, and we don't know for sure who's going to be the starter down there in New Orleans. Between Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill, do you have a preference of who you'd like to see be the starter?
Yeah, definitely. And I was looking forward for these questions to arise because I know that some guy drafted Taysom Hill in the Scottish Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
That's you, Marquez?
Yeah, I absolutely, it was me. I am, I'm guilty.
And I really think that Jameis Winston is the best option for them and for that often in fantasy purposes, right? The last time he played in a whole season, he was a top five QB. He fed Mike Evans and all that stuff in Tampa Bay. It's tough for me to believe in Taysom Hill as a really good quarterback for fantasy. I'm not buying it. And a comedy, it would be the worst situation for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah. The committee would be the worst, but I also feel like Sean Payton would absolutely do that, right? Like he would use both of these guys and make it the worst case. And I'll say this. Yeah, I did. I drafted Taysom Hill in the Scott Fish Bowl because it really was sort of a long shot, right? Like maybe he's the guy when they get close, he scores a couple of touchdowns, or maybe they use him every now and then as a tight end and they throw him the football every once in a while. Like that was sort of my attempt to get into Sean Payton's head and try and figure out how they're going to use him. Cause I have no idea. I'm not going to pretend like I know. I drafted him just for a laugh, just to see what might happen.
I can see the value there. Like you said, he can be the gadget player he was last year, and he can return value, of course, right?
Yeah. As we talk about this, how much does the quarterback, you think, affects a guy like Alvin Kamara?
With Taysom Hill, a lot.
Yeah.
His upside is capped. He's one of the most versatile, talented, productive running backs in the past few years. But from 2018 to 2020, he has played 34 games with Brees and 10 without him. Mm-hmm. The difference is really, really high. 7-point targets and 23.4 points per game with Brees. Without him, 5.5 targets and 17.8 fantasy points. But if we put Taysom Hill in the equation, the numbers are really, really scary. 4 targets and only 14.2 fantasy points per game.
Yeah, I know that was everybody who had Alvin Kamara last year, they were so frustrated because he wasn't getting the targets like he used to with Drew Brees. And he wasn't getting those touchdowns. Those short touchdown runs were going to Taysom Hill, and that was the worst. And I know that's everybody's fear about Taysom Hill getting the starting job. But that being said, I mean, we're still drafting Alvin Kamara in like the top 4 or 5. I mean, if you're on the clock, let's say you're on the clock at 4, Mauricio, and Alvin Kamara's still there, are you going to take him or are you going to go somewhere else?
Even though what I just said, I would go with Alvin Kamara because of his talent, versatile and productive and upside. Alvin Kamara, every single year is going to have an upside.
Yeah, I think we're nervous, but I don't think we're so nervous that we would avoid him.
You remember how last year we were nervous with Alvin Kamara as well because of the knee?
Yeah.
And he was like in some drafts was still in like pick 9 or 10.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, he was. And then, all the people, if you survived and you made it to the fantasy playoffs, I mean, you got a huge game from him at the end of the season.
Yeah.
It was your Christmas gift, basically, from Alvin Kamara. So it sort of worked out if you were able to survive that. All right, my last storyline and maybe the biggest one. What's up with Aaron Rodgers? And what I'm at, do you think he will be on an NFL roster in week 1? And if so, which team will it be?
We are guessing here. And I'm thinking, like, if I was the general manager, the Packers general manager, there's no way I will trade Aaron Rodgers. No way. So the trade for me is out of the question or out of the possibilities. And I will be blown away if they trade him. Probably going to be one of the biggest surprise in recent NFL history. So I think he's going to be in an NFL roster and it will be with Green Bay. So for me, Aaron Rodgers, it's sit 1 year, a la Brett Favre, right? Or play with the Packers.
I mean, I think you're probably right. I think the chance for him to get traded, you know, especially to like Denver or something like that, is probably gone. The other part of that is you can look at pretty much any sport. Whenever you trade a superstar like that, you never get the same amount of value back. No. Like, it just never happens. And so I think that's what's hard for the Packers. So at some point, yeah, I think the two sides may figure out a way to maybe, you know, make up and get back together again. Although, you know, part of me thinks that he could just go on and live his life and have a good year and just, you know, like, I mean, like, every time I see him on, like, Instagram, he looks pretty happy just doing whatever he's doing.
He isn't worried at all.
Not at all.
No.
Not even a little bit. So let's just say, for the sake of argument, that he decides to take a year off, that he's not going to play. How much does that hurt guys like Davante Adams and Aaron Jones if he's not there?
Probably not much. I think Davante Adams, one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL. We sometimes talk about wide receivers that are QB-proof, like Terry McLaurin, like Allen Robinson. Why can't one of the most talented wide receivers in the NFL don't be QB-proof? And that's the case for Davante Adams. Of course, he's not going to finish top three. It's like really difficult to think about him a top three with Jordan Love. But top 10, I think it's possible for Davante Adams, for talent alone and for volume.
That is maybe the most reasonable take I think I've heard about this the whole time. Because I feel like we all talk about Aaron Rodgers not being there, and then we start to panic about everything else. I will say that I have dropped Davante Adams in my rankings from 1 to 5. So I'm nervous. I mean, whereabouts do you have him? Is that about right for you?
Yeah, I think top five is about right now, because we don't know what Aaron Rodgers is going to do. So putting him in the top three, probably it's not reasonable. Top 10, not also. But top five, I think it's the sweet spot.
All right. And then Aaron Jones, do you feel the same way? Does he take a big hit if there's no Aaron Rodgers?
Okay. Without Aaron Rodgers, we are expecting like more volume for Aaron Jones, right? And I think it's not only for Aaron Jones, but for A.J. Dillon as well. So we can see this offense being more conservative, wanted to running a lot more. I still rank him as a low running back one because of decrease in expected touchdowns.
All right. I think that's probably fair. Does A.J. Dillon worry you at all? I can't say that I'm worried about it. I don't know if A.J. Dillon scares you at all about Aaron Jones.
But with Aaron Rodgers,
do you think AJ Dillon hurts Aaron Jones at all this year, or is it the same?
No, I don't think so. I think it's the same that Jamal Williams. Williams decreases opportunities for Jones in the passing game. AJ Dillon is going to limit opportunities for Jones in the rushing game. But I think it's compensated.
Yeah, no, I feel like that's fair. I think it's going to be kind of, you know, an equal swap, I guess, between Dillon and Jamal Williams. So those are good. Those are the training camp stories, which I guess I should remind you one more time. It's the biggest season ever. Starts with NFL training camp, a whole week of first looks at insider access. Leading up to the first ever Back Together Saturday, fueled by Gatorade. Coverage starts July 26th on NFL Network. So check it out. That leads me to, I always like to play hype train or smoke screen. So basically I'm gonna have a handful of statements and I want you to decide whether or not we should be believing this, do we get on the hype train, or if this is just, you know, garbage and we should ignore it. So my first one, Odell Beckham Jr. is going to be a wide receiver one in 2021. Are you believing that or not?
Hype train, yeah.
Okay, all right.
Talent, second year in Stefanski's offense. He's done it in the past years. Yeah, why not? And Mayfield, I think Mayfield isn't going to be so much pressure to look to Odell Beckham like in last year or in 2019.
All right, that I have been trying to figure out. I've been trying to figure out how I feel about Odell all off season long. Like I honestly don't know because I still think he's really talented. I don't think that's changed. But you know, I also just don't know if the offense is set up for him to be the same kind of player he was with the Giants. Go ahead.
Marcus, even if Odell Beckham isn't a wide receiver one in 2021, would you see him finishing in top 24?
I can see that. Yeah.
And his ADP, it's a bargain. Even seeing him as the top 24 wide receiver, I think it's a good investment.
Yeah. No,
I think it has the upside.
Yeah, I think that's the important part too, is that I think it is the risk versus the reward. And I think for a guy like Odell, the risk isn't really significant for what he could potentially give you. So I think that's a fair statement. All right. Next one. Adrian Peterson says he is working out. He's trying to stay ready in case somebody calls, which some team very well could give him a call before the year is over. So my statement here, Adrian Peterson is going to be fantasy relevant this year. Hype train or smokescreen?
Okay, if you see smoke here, it's not my computer burning. It's the smoke ring of Adrian Peterson that be fantasy rebalanced. You know, insert the meme of Michael Scott, the no, God, please, no. That's it. In this stage of his career, he will need like 10 plus touchdowns to be fantasy relevant. He's a Hall of Famer, I have no doubt of that. Probably one of the best running backs we've ever seen. But I don't know. But yeah. I know that if someone can make it my words, it's him.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always that. I mean, I think of a couple of years ago when he was in Washington, right? When we felt like, you know, he's old, he just can't get it done. And he ended up having a pretty good season. But then I also go back to last year when the Lions finally made DeAndre Swift the starter and Adrian Peterson said, hey, that should have happened like a month ago. So, I think we might be finally nearing the end of the road for a guy who has been great for a long time. I will say that if he is signed to a team, I will be very hesitant to make a move to pick him up. So I'll leave it at that.
Do you think the Rams could make a call for him?
I think they could. I know they have said they don't plan to go out and sign a veteran free agent, but I also don't 100% believe that. I think we'll get into training camp, and we might even get into the regular season a couple of weeks. And then Sean McVay will sort of look at his running backs. And I think at some point they're going to sign somebody.
Yeah.
Whether it's Peterson, maybe there's a Todd Gurley reunion that happens. I don't know, but I think they signed somebody there.
I agree. Yeah.
So, all right, last one here. Kenyon Drake will outscore Josh Jacobs. Hype train or smokescreen?
Ooh, that's a really close one, but I'm going to say smokescreen.
Okay.
For me, Josh Jacobs is a better talent. No, the talent is there. The Raiders have, like, not used him in a great way. Drake is going to have the pass catching role and maybe some of the carries, but without an injury, I think outscoring Jacobs seems nearly improbable.
Yeah, but I do think it's going to be close, right? Yeah. Like, I think they're both going to get the ball a lot. Have you been willing to draft Josh Jacobs anywhere this year?
Not at all. not really, because in his ADP, it's like round three, round four. I'm looking for wide receivers there.
Yeah.
The CeeDee Lambs, Robert Woods. So it's going to be difficult to have Josh Jacobs in my teams this year.
Yeah, no, I agree. I don't think I've drafted Josh Jacobs on any team just because I feel like I can't accurately predict what the Raiders offense is going to be.
Yeah.
And then on top of it, like Kenyon Drake, I think he's going to get a lot of work. And so like I've just kind of stayed away from all of that at this point. So
are you willing to draft Kenyon Drake or not at all?
I think I've drafted Kenyon Drake once or twice. But it's the same thing, right? It, like we talked about with like Odell, where the ADP is right. The value is right. So I don't feel like I'm risking a whole lot by drafting Kenyon Drake.
Of course.
That's about it. All right. Well, I like to always end with just some kind of rapid fire non-fantasy question, just a chance to kind of, you know, be a little bit goofy if possible. So my first one for you, if you could retire to any place in the world, where would you go?
Ooh. I love mountains. I love the beach. I have to go to the beach. For me, it's the best relaxing spot that I could probably imagine. Mm-hmm. In Mexico, Isla Mujeres probably pop up, or Holbox in the Riviera Maya. That would be amazing.
All right. So wait, now, because you said mountains and the beach. So I'm guessing that's just where you can sort of do both there, right?
Probably 6 months in the beach, 6 months in the mountains. Yeah, that would be great.
That would be great.
Yeah,
absolutely. I'm down with that. All right. If you weren't doing this job, if you weren't, you know, writing and talking about fantasy football, what would Mauricio Gutierrez be doing with his life?
That's the toughest question I've ever been asked since I'm a fantasy football analyst. And I really don't know. I'm a lawyer, actually, by the way.
Okay.
And I drop everything that I was doing as a lawyer for doing what I dream of, that was the generating content fantasy football, right? Mm-hmm. So now that it's my job, my full-time job, I'm really, really blessed. And I think probably I would, if I wasn't doing this, probably I would settle with the lawyer thing, mm-hmm. or maybe running a little restaurant, probably in the beach. That would be something I would consider as well.
See, so now we're setting up your whole retirement, right? Like you're gonna live in the mountains and the beach. You're gonna run a little restaurant.
Yeah,
like we're planning it. We're planning your future right here. This is
totally playing and winning some football, some fantasy football leagues, of course. Yeah.
We've got it all mapped out for you. It's great.
That's great.
All right. So my last one here. You are a Star Wars fanatic. I love every morning seeing, you know, the Buenos Dias and the coffee cup being stirred. So between all the Star Wars movies and the TV shows, do you have a particular favorite?
Yeah. And it's going to be the popular one, and mm-hmm. I don't care. But Empire Strikes Back, it screams perfection all the way. It's an amazing film. That's a film that really made me love Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It is. I mean, I think I would agree with you. I think it is the best of all the nine, you know, major movies. I think that's the best one. And it's also the one, you know, at the end of Empire Strikes Back, things are bad.
Yeah.
Things are bad, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Luke got his hand chopped off. He found out Darth Vader's his dad. Han Solo is frozen in carbonite. Like, things looked bad for them, but it is. It is probably the best one.
That's something about the charm of that film, that you didn't expect that to go to so dark places and that mm-hmm. the Empire, like, was winning the war in that moment. Mm. And I think that it's something that George Lucas planned perfectly.
I have to ask, are you watching like The Bad Batch or any of the new stuff?
Mm. I watch everything. The Mandalorian was great also.
Yep.
I'm watching The Bad Batch. It's okay.
Right.
It doesn't feel like in the Star Wars universe or storyline that has something new for us.
Mm-hmm.
But I am enjoying it, like Friday, put it maybe with my dinner or something like that. And,
it's okay. We're all just waiting for the Book of Boba Fett, basically.
Yeah.
You know, that's gonna be fun.
That Boba Fett return was amazing.
Amazing.
I mean, the Mandalorian. Yeah. Sorry, spoilers alert here about the Mandalorian. Like 1 year after it, Ahsoka. The other Mandalorians,
mm-hmm.
to have Luke, Boba Fett. Wow. I know that sometimes they say, it's fan service. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. I'm okay with fan service. Like, I'm a fan. Like, you know, make me feel good about this. Yeah, I will say with The Mandalorian, when they had the Luke Skywalker reveal, watching the show was sort of my Friday night treat when everybody in my house was asleep because they didn't care. Like, I would watch it, and I almost screamed out loud and woke everybody up when Luke came on screen. So
yeah, with my wife and I will wake up and see, like, first time in the morning, so no spoilers, right? You go to Twitter and you see everything, and the first time in the morning we prepare coffee and right away watch The Mandalorian, and that Luke Skywalker, I really cry. It was amazing.
So good. Yeah, it was so good. Yeah. Absolutely. Mauricio, I've certainly enjoyed this conversation. It's nice to, you know, to meet you in person, I guess, so to speak, in person, in chat here. For people who are looking to find your work, where can they find it?
Yeah, in Twitter, at mgutierreznfl. And all the content in social media at NFL en Español and at NFL MX and the YouTube channel NFL en Español.
That is awesome. So yeah, go check him out. Please, please do. You can ask him fantasy questions. You can ask him Star Wars questions. Yeah. And I'm sure he will have opinions on both of them. So appreciate it, Mauricio. Hopefully everything works out and we can actually, you know, meet in person in Canton in a few weeks. That'd be great.
Yeah, that would be amazing. And thank you for the invitation, Marcus.
Dude, I appreciate it. All right, as for us, that is it. We are done. We appreciate you hanging out with the NFL Fantasy Football Show. You know the drill. Tell two friends to tell two friends. Rate, review, and remember, if you pamper a cow, you'll end up with spoiled milk. Be safe, take care of yourselves, get vaccinated, and we will see you next week.